Blog Talk Radio. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Hi, it's Jack from Jack in the Box. Today I'm in my tasting kitchen letting Jeremy try my new portobello mushroom buttery Jack. You know my buttery Jack burgers.
Love them.
Then you'll be happy I'm making a new one.
Why? They were perfect. With the melted garlic herb butter?
The new one has that too, plus grilled onions and portobello mushrooms.
Oh, those are those fancy mushrooms, huh?
Try it.
Oh, dang it, Jack.
What?
I guess I'm a fancy mushroom guy.
Welcome to the club.
Try the new portobello mushroom buttery Jack with melted garlic herb butter. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Invictus. Good morning. This is the International Mastermind Group, and we have this morning today with us the Palm Beach Life Planners, and we would like to conclude auto-suggestion. Before we start the show and I introduce, what I think that I will do is have Betty come and give us a starting point with our focus today on with Invictus. Betty?
Yes. Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pitch from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my uncomfortable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of a shade, and yet the menace of years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Nature has so built man that he is absolutely the only being on this earth that has control over the material that reaches his subconscious mind through his senses, what he sees every day, what he reads, what he says, what he hears. He has control over what goes into his mind. It's these things that influence our subconscious. We must protect what goes into our mind, what creates and what we do every day. Now, of course, this isn't an easy thing, and we can't be discouraged if we cannot control and direct our emotions and direct what enters our eye gates, what comes out of our mouth gate, and what enters into our ear gate every time. But you have to try to remember, there is no possibility of getting something for nothing. Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich also tells us that the ability to reach and influence your subconscious mind has its price, and you must pay that price. You can't cheat, even if you desire to do so. The price of the ability to influence your subconscious mind, which is what we've been talking about this week, and what we can continue to talk, what we talked last week, and what we continue to talk this week, is an everlasting persistence in applying the principles that we will be talking about today. It's important, and this is one of the things that life will try and tell you more and more, that through wisdom and cleverness alone that you can attract and retain money. Not so. There are very few instances where the law of averages favor the attraction of money through these sources. Attracting money the way we're going to talk about today does not depend upon the law of averages. It's not a chance. It's not something that just happens. It's something that you develop. And that's what we're going to talk about today, developing that mindset, having control of your mind. We are the master of our own fate, but it's only if you take control of your situation that we control and we influence our own subconscious. Now, this morning, I've already told you that we have the Palm Beach Life Planners here with us today, and we have a special guest. I'm going to introduce them now. We have our first young lady that read Invictus to us, Betty Knighton, who is a spiritual coach and business owner. Good morning, Betty.
Morning. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you so much for giving us reading that poem and giving us that beginning start inspiration. We also have Anne McNeil. Anne is at the IMA, the International Mastermind Association founder. She is an international speaker. She is an author of several books, and she's also a business coach. Anne, can you give us a good morning shout?
And a good morning from the Master Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. Good morning.
Thank you. Finally, we also have Keith Rowe. Keith Rowe is with us, and he is a student, not only just a student, but he is one of the top students in the top 25% of his class at Florida Memorial. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Absolutely fine. Listen, this is what we'd like to do today. One of the things that we find every day is that there's so much that we have to deal with that takes our attention on what we want to focus on. Anne and Betty have so many things going on in their lives. I said that they are business coach, business owners, but they're also wives, they are CEOs of businesses, and they have a lot of things flowing into their life. Keith, as I said, is also a student who has a lot of distractions, but because of his achieving, becoming more than medium, the average guy, they learn to focus. What I'd like to do is turn to Betty Knighton, and then I'll go to Betty, then I'll go to Anne, and then Keith. And I'd like for them to talk to us about how you develop that mind to focus. I guess it's not only focus, but how do you develop your chief definite goal every morning. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning. What's important to me to do all that I have to do, which requires a lot of focus, it starts with my morning meditations. The chief definite aim is a part of that. My morning meditation sets the tone for the day because it's a quiet, serene period. And this is the time I spend with my Creator. I read, I pray, do scriptures, inspirational readings, and then I do something called Meditations of the Heart by Howard Thurman or whatever I happen to be reading. It changes from time to time. But what's also important is this is the time that I journal. I put my thoughts on paper, and my thoughts could be about upcoming issues, or there could be prayers. Whatever I have, I pour it out on paper. I also put down words of gratitude and thanksgiving, and then I read out loud my affirmations. And I have found that reading those affirmations keep me focused because part of the affirmations are built around the chief definite aim. And sometimes when you're meditating, when you're having that quiet time in the morning, creativity flows. For example, part of my reading in the morning is on desire. And since that's the first step of riches, I think it's very important. So I have what I desire to be, what I desire to have, and what I desire to do. Now, one of the things in my desire to do is to share the gospel to an expanded audience. I only share it with my local church and local churches in the area. But as I was meditating one morning, the thought came to me, why not take those sermons, those messages that you have, you record them, now why not have them labeled and professionally duplicated? And then why not include them in a catalog? Everything you've done, everything you said, that is one way that you can begin sharing that message with an expanded audience. All of that came out of my morning meditations. And that's why I think that meditations is important to me to keep me focused and keep me on track. So I thank you for letting me share that, Sharon.
Thank you. That was very good. We appreciate that. We also have Ann McNeil. Ann McNeil also has told us a number of times about her morning meditation. She has given us, not only just talk to us about it, but the inspiration that has come from her morning meditation time. And your mic is open.
Sharon, it is really very exciting to listen to Betty all the time. And our lives are parallel as relates to how we have taken the exercises from Thinking Grow Rich as espoused by Napoleon Hill and actually used them in our lives, some in similar ways and some different depending upon the person and the personality. And I'd like to encourage all of the listeners, as I begin to share what I do as a part of my date with myself, I call it a daily date with myself, I want to go back to the self-confidence formula, Sharon, and if you don't mind if I could read part of that, because we're talking about definite chief aim, and we're talking about auto-suggestion, and we're talking about meditation, but we also want to share with people what is your definite chief aim for those who may be listening for the very first time. It is your major purpose in your life, and when you think about thinking and growing rich, what is it that you want? And once you can settle on exactly what that is, Napoleon Hill gives you a self-confidence formula in your book in the chapter space. So with your permission, Sharon, can I read that, and then I'll share what I do in the morning?
Absolutely.
All right. The self-confidence formula is found in the chapter of faith in your book. It says, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. I know that through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I have in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction that does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative mental attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. And this, Sharon, is the foundation upon which all of our personal affirmations are written. So as a part of my date with myself on a daily basis, when I rise, I have a process of things that I go through, and a large part of that deals with journaling, utilizing Julia Cameron's artist way, daily journals. She called them, you know, your morning pages. And I just journal and I share with people, just imagine if you get up every day and you have these thoughts and you're carrying them around day after day after day. It's the same mentally as physically. If you don't relieve your body physically, you eventually get sick. Well, the same is true with our mental thoughts. You've got to find a way to relieve yourself, and that's why a lot of people go and get mental help in terms of just having somebody that's not going to be judgmental to just talk to. But a lot of times we can do that by relieving ourselves on the page. In addition to that, I read something that's spiritual from my Bible, and I like going through the book of Proverbs. So whatever the day's date is, I read the proverb for that day. So if today's date is the first of the month, I read the first proverb. I may not get through the entire chapter because I may end up on one particular verse or a word, and I'll be there for a while. In addition to that, I love reading Utmost for the Highest by Oswald Chambers, which is a daily devotion, in addition to Prosperity by Charles Fillmore. And I have a lot of different things that I do in the morning, which naturally takes, you know, a bit of time, but it is my making deposit into myself. And I would encourage all of us to consider that all day long, people, whether it's our family, friends, coworkers, or just business partners, or just the world at large, everybody is making withdrawals from us every single day. And it is our job, and really should be our pleasure and our honor, to make deposits into our own lives every day. So then when people some people do make deposits, but others will be making withdrawals all day long. At the end of the day, we can ensure that we do not end up bankrupt if we're making more deposits than the withdrawals people are making. And the last thought really is listening as I drive to Napoleon Hill on audio. I also listen to Jim Rohn and Les Brown and Louise Hay and just a lot of different people each morning on audio as I am driving. So that is my daily date with myself.
Thank you. I found myself wanting to ask you more questions. But I'm going to go on to Keith so that I stay on track. We have approximately 11 minutes in the show. And then I'm going to go back to something that Ann said, if that's all right, Ann. I'm going to open up your mic, Keith, because I'd like for you to be able to talk to us about how you stay on track. I mentioned before that you're a student. Now, you're not just a student who goes to classes. You're a student that is active in certain activities. But we all know, all of us have been to school. We know that there are a lot of activities that can take you off course from your chief definite goal. Can you talk to us a few minutes about how you stay directed as a student?
Most definitely, Ms. Jackson. Well, I can say that this is my first time ever being in student leadership at this school as far as SGA. I was elected at Mr. Florida Memorial University this last semester, and jumping into that role along with 18 credits worth of classes, along with internships, and all the other things, and also student activities that I have to be present to. It is very, very difficult to try and stay focused and maintain that focus. However, what I've been doing was when I wake up in the morning, I would do what I usually did when I was back home in Bahamas. My parents always taught me once you wake up, you know, you get on your knees and you pray. You know, you ask God for guidance and protection throughout the day, and you would read a daily scripture, and so it would be some form of meditation as well. So basically something spiritual just to, you know, just to get your day going. And what I've also been doing, what I've learned from Ms. Ann is, you know, write everything down. So, you know, I have a calendar, and well, I have two calendars, one for my activities and one for my schoolwork. So what I try to do every day in the morning is that I write down all the things that I need to accomplish in that day. So I look at my calendar. I usually update it as soon as I get an activity or some form of assignment to do, put it on my calendar. And then when I wake up in the morning, I look at my calendar and I look and see what are the immediate things that I need to accomplish today, whether it's something involving my fraternity, whether it's something involving one of my other organizations, whether it's going to an event. But I look at that and I plan my day accordingly. I see what classes I have that day. I see what activities I have to go to. I see what meetings I have to go to. And then from there, I see what homework is due. And based on those things, I schedule how exactly I'm going to plan out my day for that period of time. And I usually my day starts, I wake up, I want to say, around 7. And sometimes my day doesn't over till about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, whether it's finishing homework or whether it's just trying to just finish something or get something prepared for tomorrow. And after 2 weeks of being in school, you know, it's already been a lot of pressure on me. It has already been a lot of things demanded of me. However, I know that, you know, once I keep to this plan and I stay focused, I am almost positive that I will come out on top. So as I keep organized and, you know, as I move in faith, because, you know, you have to move in faith. Once I do these things, I'm pretty sure that I'll be successful. And I graduate in May, so it's not that far and it's not that long until all of this comes to an end, so I know that I am at the peak of trying to get all my work done and, you know, in my college career. So once I do the things necessary, I will be just fine. Thank you.
Very good. Now, the one thing that I see that is the one string that is woven through what Betty has told us, what Ann has told us, and now what Keith has said is applied persistence. That it's not something that you do once or that you do twice, that it is applied persistence, something that you do every day to be consistent. having control of what comes in through your eye gate, what comes through your ear gate, and then what comes out through your mouth gate. Now, Anne said something very interesting, because now Betty is a mother, a wife, a business owner, owner of several businesses. Anne is the same thing, but Anne also has several businesses. Both of them are speakers. Anne is not just a local speaker, but she is a national speaker. Keith is not just a student, but he is a leader in his class. He is part of the student body governance, okay? But something that Anne said, because they intertouch so many lives, touch so many fields, there are people, whether it be their family, employees, or business partners, but they all make extractions, okay? I think it's important for us to know what that means, the impact of that, and why, yes, you have to be ready to impart to other people, to give them information, to give them inspiration, to give them information, but they extract from you emotionally. Now, we still have about 4 minutes into the show. If we can, I would like to go back to Anne first and then to Betty to talk about what does that mean to stay focused but still be allowed to have people take deposits from you. Anne, I'm opening your mic.
Well, Sharon, one of the areas of the book that really touches me that Napoleon Hill talked about is the power of focus and just, you know, applied attention to what's important. And so in my daily life, because I'm focusing on my definite chief aim and my major purpose in my life, when people, activities, and opportunities arise that are not important. And when we talk about what's important and what's not important, anything that may be a fact that may not be important to your definite chief goal or aim in life is an unimportant fact. For the moment, even if it's an individual, that person and that person's ideas and thoughts and activities are really not important to your definite chief purpose at that moment. And so for me, I have a filter, and I run all those things and people through the filter, and that is how, for me, it allows me to stay more focused, because otherwise, and I've been there when I was younger, I was just all over the place, here, there, everywhere, not really understanding or realizing, why am I here? Why am I in this conversation? Why am I on this project? Why am I doing this? Not knowing why, because somebody thought it was a good idea. But time, Sharon, is the only resource that we have in terms of energy, and we need to really invest it.
Thank you very much, Anne. Now, Betty, I'm opening your mic, and I'd like for you to give us information on people making deposits and extractions from your own life and how you stay focused.
You know, Sharon, that's very important, because as a wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, daughter to a 94-year-old, oldest of five siblings, and aunt to I don't know how many nieces and nephews, I wear a lot of hats in the family. And we know that we mastermind in 10 areas, and we try to maintain balance. One of those areas is family. But within family, it's important to maintain balance, because there are some people who will suck all of the oxygen out of you. Now, each of my siblings, my five siblings, is a different name for me, and I cherish all of them. But it does require a balancing act. Each segment of the family has its own issues. So within the family, I serve as counselor, business advisor, mediator, confidant, and encourager-in-chief. But there was an instance where there was just one member of the family. I just had to back off and just almost cut her off, because it became draining, and the advice was not being taken. So they would sucking oxygen out of the room but not putting anything back into the room. So sometimes we have to know when to say, okay, enough is enough. I have to back off from this. This is not going anywhere. And this person has to learn to do things on her own or on his own. So the focus comes into play when you realize, like Ann said, how does this fit into my chief definite aim? How does it move me further ahead? Of course, part of my affirmation is that I love my family and that I pray often for the well-being of my family. But still, I have to realize when there is a cut-off point, when it goes beyond just normal support and it becomes enabling the person to keep doing what they're doing, that's when you have to take a look and say, okay, I'm not helping. I am enabling bad behavior. So let me back off that and just take a step back. So that's really my last point, is that focus is important when you find yourself being spread too thin. Rein it in. I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do and no more. That's my last point.
Very good. Thank you. I'm going to allow Keith to make a one last statement about how he stays focused, and because he's a student and has friends, and because he's on the student body governance, he naturally has people pulling on him because of this. And I think he said something about being Mr. Florida Memorial. Well, that means he's popular and he has people pulling on him there. So, Keith, give us your parting comments, because we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, on how you keep focused on your chief definite aim. You said that you're going to graduate probably in about 8 months. So your chief definite goal is not only just to graduate, but to graduate with honors and to focus on that first job or starting your new business. So your mic is open. Give us your parting comments, and then I'll conclude.
Thank you very much. Well, I must say it starts off with having a personal drive for what you want. Basically, when I was in eighth grade, that was the turning point in my life. When I came home with a GPA of, I think, 2.44, and my father, he was so ashamed, because usually I would get like 3.5, but ever since high school started, I started declining, and it got so bad. So when I brought home that GPA, he didn't tell nobody. And, you know, back then I used to get spanking and stuff, but, you know, he didn't even decide to do that, so because he was so ashamed, and that hurt me more than any other spanking I probably could have gotten ever in my life. So from then, I'm like, wow, this is really serious. And from then, you know, I guess that fire within is starting to burn. And it's basically my personal drive which drives me to stay focused. Every time I start a new semester, I always tell myself, why am I here? What's my reason of being here? And I always remind myself of how, when I was back home, you know, what it took for me to earn these scholarships to get here. And I always tell myself what it's going to take for me to stay here, and not just to stay here, but to stay here and achieve. So for me, what keeps me focused is reminiscing on the fact of my reason, my why, of the why in which I started college, the reason in which I am here at Florida Memorial University, and to see myself bettering my life in the near future and in the distant future. So I would definitely say it's the personal drive that keeps me focused, because without that personal drive, I'm telling you, it will be hard for the things I try to do on a consistent daily basis. It's that personal drive that, you know, or as Napoleon Hill would say, that burning desire to just want to be successful. So that that's my one of my key components to staying focused.
Thank you. That was very good. We appreciate that a lot. I'm going to close the show by making a couple of comments. Many philosophers have made the statement that man is the master of his own earthly destiny. But most of us as people have failed to say why we are the master and to focus on why we are created. What you've heard today is that Betty has taken the time and she has persistently applied persistence and has every day focused on applied persistence. And Keith has told us, as a young man and a student, he has given us applied persistence to come to the understanding of his earthly destiny. Now, each one of them, because they are individuals, has their own earthly destiny. Most people fall into the average or don't achieve anything because of never taking the time and the applied persistence to determine why he is the master of his fate. The reason a man may be the master of his own earthly status, especially his financial status, is because he can change his own environment and the environment around us, and that's why we're here, to influence for the positive, because we have the power to influence our own subconscious mind, which influences everything that we do every day. We had really good discussion today, and I want to thank Betty Knighton, spiritual coach, business owner. I want to thank Ann McNeil. I am a founder, speaker, author, and business coach. I want to thank you, Keith Rowe, student, Florida Memorial famous guy, and Florida Memorial governance guy. I want to thank you all for taking the time to come with us and speaking from your heart and your experience. And we hope that our listeners today will come with us, because we are on the show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And you are welcome, welcome, welcome to join in on the conversation of thinking and growing rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.